Judges chapter 16. Well, we're going to be in several scriptures, but starting in Judges 16:3, and when I read it, you're going to be thinking, Pastor Mark, you're getting old. You just preached on this a few weeks ago.
Praise the Lord.
But it's a different message. It'll start just for a moment the same, but it's about a different subject. And Samson lay low till midnight. Then he arose at midnight, took hold of the doors of the gate of the city and the two gateposts, pulled them up, bar and all, put them on his shoulders and carried them to the top of the hill that faces Hebron. I want you to just underline or notice, Samson lay low till midnight. Then he arose at midnight. In our sermon some weeks ago, I showed you that this is a foreshadowing. It's a type and shadow. I talked about how Samson ripped up the gates of the city, the enemy city, and they put him on his own shoulders, went some 5 to 7 miles up the hill to the top of the hill that faces Hebron, and there he deposited those gates. And how our Samson, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, how he defeated the very gates of hell, how he ripped them up, how when he went to the cross, he made a great, great victory for us over the enemy, over the gates of the enemy. It speaks of the power of the enemy and its hold upon our lives, and how he ascended to the Father, how he led captivity captive, how he put down the enemy, how he won a great victory through his resurrection for us, and how we have great hope, and how there's power in that for us. So that's where we were when we visited this passage of Scripture. But I'm going to talk to you this morning about something that I know the Lord is able to feed every one of us from the same bread, but I know there's some in here that this will be especially for today. I'm going to talk to you about seasons of the midnight hour. I want to talk to you about the midnight hour in the Word of God. In the original language, the word midnight means to divide, to sever, to cut in half. It speaks of the middle of the night. And I know depending on what continent you're on and what season, this doesn't always hold true. But linguistically and technically, midnight is the middle of the night. It cuts the night in half. It severs the night in half. Once you pass midnight, we speak of it as early morning. These are the early morning hours. In Spanish, it's madrugada, which is, we don't have a word for it. It's the time early morning before dawn and after midnight. It's this wee hours of the morning. And so once you pass midnight, you're leaving something behind and you're heading towards something new. There's something before midnight and there's something after midnight. It's to divide or to separate the night in two. For us, symbolically, we use this language also. The midnight hour often speaks of trouble. It speaks of testing. It speaks of dark times. Maybe some of you are in a dark time. It speaks of a trial. Maybe you're going through a trial, a time of hardship, a time when God seems far away and you don't know. For you, it looks like a dead end. It looks like the end of the road. But what we fail to see is we fail to see midnight from God's perspective. This is going to be so important for us this morning. And I know this sounds very elementary, dear Watson, but midnight comes before morning. But you may not really realize that. You know it's true in the hours of the night, but midnight comes before morning, and we're going to take this a step further because it's more important than that. The Bible says weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning, right? Amen? There is a season that follows midnight. Listen to me. God never created midnight to be the end. Midnight comes before something else. Midnight is not the end of your life. Midnight is not when you give up. Midnight is not the end of the road. Midnight is not God destroying you. There is a season that comes after midnight. And I found it as I was thinking on this, we always go back to Genesis for first mention. And it's really interesting how in the book of Genesis, as God began to create, And he created the first day and the second day. And the word of God is so specific. It says, and evening and morning were the first day. Now, in our language and in our culture, the day begins with morning. We get up in the morning, we say, this is going to be a good day, and it ends in the evening. Not so in Hebrew thought. Not so in the Word of God. In the Word of God, evening is the beginning of the next day. The day goes from evening till evening. And so evening and morning were the first day. This is really interesting because God is creating new days. And whenever He is doing something creative, it doesn't start with morning. It says it starts with evening. He creates another new day, and it starts in the darkness of the night. And when God's doing something creative in your life and there's a new day coming, midnight doesn't mean that your life's over and that the devil has won. Midnight means it's the beginning of something new and there's something good coming your way. Now, I'm going to say, because you know that I preach, there are times that we learn suffering as Christians. There are times that we are put through the mill. There are times that we go through testings and trials. But beloved, I want to encourage you this morning. I don't think that any of you should ever succumb to the lie of the enemy that it's that way forever. Because God in His Word, I believe, will show you this morning that it is the beginning, that midnight is the beginning of something new. Now, sometimes it seems like the hands on the clock got stuck at midnight. And sometimes it seems like your midnight lasts a long, long time. Months go by and it's still on the 12. Sometimes years go by. But that does not mean that those hands won't move again. There is a new season. There is a morning. And the Lord wants to encourage you with that this morning. The Bible says that God's mercies are new every morning. But midnight is a dividing. There are times in our lives when God's cutting something away. There are times when it's the end of one thing and it's the beginning of another thing. Midnight is division. It's severing. It's separating. It's the end of something and it's the beginning of something else. And though I am wanting to encourage you this morning, I have to come back to this fact. I believe that the man or woman of God will be allowed by God, will in every person's life, every believer's life, they will come to a midnight hour. There will be a midnight hour. Now, some of you may say, well, I got saved and it's all just been a bed of roses. Well, I'm just going to tell you, get ready. Because God never promised you that it would be a bed of roses the rest of your life. He promised tribulation, trials. There are sorrows in this life, and sooner or later they come to each one of us. And the man or woman of God will go into their midnight hour, but it is a season. And it's for a purpose. God cannot do what He wants to do in your life if you always have it easy. It's just like the parent who protects their child from every hardship, every mistake, from ever being able to do anything wrong, and that child grows up so sheltered that they aren't able to deal with suffering or with sorrow when it comes. And here we find that God allows His people to go through testings and trials because it's the only way to purge. It's the only way to do this work that He wants to do in you to prepare you for that thing that He has for you. Time of testing. It is a time of testing to reveal the heart. And I'll say it this way. It's a time of testing to reveal your own mindset. Your mindset in your time of testing, your mindset in your midnight hour reveals your relationship with the Lord and your level of maturity and where you are in Christ. But the God of Israel neither slumbers nor sleeps. He's with you in the midnight hour, though you may feel that He's not. He's with you in the time of darkness. And there's something that He is wanting to sever. There's something He wants to divide. There's something that He wants to do in your life in order to prepare you. It is the end of the old and it is the beginning of a new era. Now, there's a second aspect to this, because some of you may be sitting here and you may be thinking, well, I'm not in a midnight hour. Things are going very well and there's nothing in this message for me. But I want you to see that this is a twofold message, because this earth, Prophetically, the Bible tells us there is a midnight hour. I believe that midnight hour is close upon us. It's a time of darkness that comes over the world, and then Jesus comes. There was a great Christian song just a few years ago called The Midnight Cry. I don't know how many of you remember that, but The Midnight Cry speaks of something that we're going to read in a moment, and it's when Jesus comes. There's a cry at midnight, and His people go out to meet Him, and it's during a time of darkness. It's at the midnight hour that the midnight cry takes place. And so for each one of us, in the midst of this message, it's not just a message about our own response to our own private midnight hour, but our response as a church and the people of God and as individuals to the midnight hour that's coming upon this world, that we would be prepared and we would know how to stand. Now, when we begin to see it this way, when we begin to see that there are personal midnight hours and that there is a midnight hour for the church, for the world, then we begin to see, and this is what I'm going to share with you today, there's a trail of scriptures. Just as there is the trail of the scarlet thread, if you've ever seen that in the Word of God, we begin to look at the midnight hour. We begin to see things that happen at midnight in the Word of God. Now, as good students of the Word, every one of these things, there are eight of them that I want to show you, every one of them have their own context. And those are very important, and they will illuminate what we're looking at. But there is something in the reasoning of God that He would specifically say in each of these things that they took place not just in the night, but at the midnight hour. And that's where we're going to go this morning. Don't turn here, but Job 34:20 in the King James Version says, "The people shall be troubled at midnight." Midnight is when you should be, you feel secure. Maybe you're in your bed, you feel secure, and you don't really have your guard up or anything. And yet in the Word of God, this one statement, "The people shall be troubled at midnight," we find this troubling at midnight. We find the midnight hour over and over, a time of testing and trouble and trial, as we're going to see in just a moment. You see, what this message about is our response. God desires for our response to change. There are Christians who go through the midnight hour, and I'll come back to this. I've seen this so many, many times, and beloved, this is so important for us. You go through the midnight hour, this is the time you should be crying out to God, and instead, when people go through their midnight hour, very often, even believers, they begin to put a little wall up around their heart, they begin to protect themselves, they begin, though they might not speak it, they think God's punishing them or something, or they're no longer, God's not hearing them, so they begin to isolate their heart, and they withdraw, and they're distant from God. The midnight hour is designed to bring you close to God, as we're going to see. God desires for our response to these things to change. Midnight, listen closely. Midnight is not, some of you could be there right now. Midnight is not the time for you to give up. Midnight is not the time for you to throw in the towel. Midnight is not the time for you to say, "Oh, God's not hearing my prayers." Midnight is not the time to crawl up under the covers and hide your face and whimper and cry. You can cry to God. But midnight is not the time to withdraw. Midnight is not the time to be overcome or to be overwhelmed. Midnight is the time for you to overcome and for that season to begin to open into a new season in your life. As you're going to see, midnight is when you gain wisdom and you rise up in strength and you find praise to God and you get a word that you need during that hour. You also get a word that other people need that during that hour. You sit at His feet and you come through judgments without even being touched. I want you to look again in Judges 16:3. We won't stay here long, as we have already studied this before. But it says that Samson lay low till midnight, then he arose at midnight. I am very careful how I say this. When I use the word prophesy, I mean it in a very specific sense of the word. I have not looked into the future. But I'm speaking truth over your lives today that I believe is prophetic. And I'm going to say it with confidence. And I'll start with this one. If you're in a midnight hour, there is coming a time. I can't tell you how long. That is the test. You must keep your eyes on Jesus. Beloved, there's coming a time at the midnight hour that you are going to rise up in faith. The Bible says to every man is given a measure of faith, but there's a gift of faith. There's a supernatural gift of faith in your time of need. The New Testament speaks of it in 1 Corinthians. Samson had a special anointing from God, and at midnight, he rose up. He laid low till midnight. Some of you are laying low right through your midnight. Midnight will bring you low. Samson is surrounded by the enemy. You are in a warfare. It's real. You're in a warfare, and the enemy has surrounded you. And you may feel like you're caged in and that there's no way out. But the Bible says there's a gift of faith. And sometime in your midnight, because God has His hand on you, and I want to encourage you this morning, you need to be looking for this, because you are going to rise up in faith. And you're going to rise up in faith, and you're going to remember what Christ did when He destroyed the gates of the enemy, just as is pictured here with Samson. And you're going to rise up. There's a faith that rises in your heart, and when it does, you're going to rise up, and you're going to shake off all of that stuff that's weighing you down. And there's going to be strength. Samson found strength at the midnight hour, and that's the first thing you need. You need strength. And if you're in a midnight hour, you need to be going to God for strength. Don't run from God. He is your loving Father, but you must press in to get strength for what you need right now. The second one is in Matthew chapter 25. Matthew chapter 25. All of these that we're looking at are stories that you know, and I'm just going to lift one or two verses out. Matthew chapter 25 is the parable of the five foolish virgins and the five wise virgins. And it's based, as I shared with you some weeks ago, on the Middle Eastern and the Eastern custom that's even still performed today, the wedding. The bridegroom does not announce when he is coming. And the bride and the bridesmaids, they all wait. And then sometime in this story, it was around midnight that a cry was heard. The bridegroom is coming. Go out to meet him. And so they ran out. And of course, five were foolish. They had no oil in their lamps. And five were wise. They had oil in their lamps. And it speaks of the fullness of the presence of Christ, the Holy Spirit in your life, and the need for that when He comes again. That we should be watching, that we should go out to meet Him, that we should be prepared with the light of Christ, the presence of Christ, the Holy Spirit, having full reign in our lives. And so it says in chapter 25, verse 6, and at midnight, a cry was heard. Behold, the bridegroom is coming. Go out to meet Him. And I come back to this thought. If you are in your midnight hour, if you are in a time, and let me say it this way, because the world is in a midnight hour, so it applies to all of us. This is the time to seek Him. This is the time to have oil in your lamp. You know, I don't even have to explain that spiritually. You've been in church long enough. All of you know what it means to have oil in your lamp. Either you have it or you don't. Now is the time to be sure that your lamp is filled with oil. And if you will allow me just a little liberty here, I know that this truly is speaking of His coming again. But it also speaks right now in this way. Just to us in the present. You know, just think of it this way. The bridegroom is coming right now. Go out to meet Him. That should be our attitude of heart right now. Not just when He comes again. We should be meeting Him. Our lamps need to be filled. We need to be seeking Him, to have that relationship with Him. Go out to meet Him today. He's coming. You see, over in the book of Revelation, it says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. And if any man will open the door, I will come in. And people think that means, you know, get saved. No. He's speaking to the church. He's speaking to Christians. I stand at the door and knock. Go out and meet Him. Don't be distant. I don't care if your midnight hour, how difficult it is. He's what you need. No one, let me say this, no one has a solution for you except what He has and what He brings. Third one is back in Ruth. It's after Judges. Ruth chapter 3. And I'm not going to spend time to go into the historical background and customs, but just briefly. Ruth chapter 3. I'm trusting that you know the story. Verses 7 through 9. And after Boaz had eaten and drunk, and his heart was cheerful, he went to lie down at the end of the heap of grain. And she came softly, uncovered his feet, and lay down. Now it happened at midnight that the man was startled and turned himself, and there a woman was lying at his feet. This custom has to do with the kinsman redeemer, which I'm not going to explain all of this morning, but it's a foreshadowing. It is a picture of Christ, our kinsman redeemer. If you're not familiar with that, you need to study it. The Bible says study to show yourself an approved workman in the Word of God. But let me just say this. She went, she did what the custom told her to do. And she went and she lay at his feet. When he woke up and saw her, she said, look at this. He said, who are you? So she answered, I am Ruth, your maidservant. Take your maidservant under your wing. It's interesting to me that it says that he was startled when he saw her. Because Jesus is our kinsman redeemer. And I think for many of us, if you just allow me this, he might be startled to see us laying at his feet, drawing near. Because maybe it's so seldom that we're there. But what this is speaking to us this morning is at midnight. Midnight's a hard time. At midnight, we need to draw nearer than we've ever been. We lay at his feet and we say, spread your wing over me. In this, it's actually, marry me. Lord Jesus, you are my redeemer, my kinsman redeemer. You're my redeemer. She is, in this moment, she is putting all of her trust in this man's protection, all of her trust in a relationship with him, all of her trust in being brought in to this man's family. The Lord has accomplished that for us on Calvary. And you say, where are you going with this? Let me tell you. Again, in the midnight hour, people tend to not trust God. In the midnight hour, you're tempted to say, well, why is God doing this? Why is he not hearing me? Why are all these things happening to me? Why is my life out of control? Why is this horrible darkness around me? And God seems so far. In the midnight hour, you begin to be tempted to think, this is some punishment for something I've done in the past. Something's wrong with me. But the midnight hour is when we must trust completely in His grace. Trust completely in the redemption that He made for us at Calvary. If you're redeemed, your past has no bearing on your future. If you're redeemed, everything that you've ever done before is washed away by the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. And you are new, you're clean. It's midnight because the past is gone and there's a new day ahead. I am a new creation in Christ. Old things are passed away. Maybe I've not forgotten them. Maybe the devil keeps reminding me of them. But God says they're gone. Trust in your Redeemer. In Exodus chapter 12, the fourth one. Exodus 12, you all know the story of the Passover. Exodus chapter 12, verses 22 through 33, or 23. And you shall take a bunch of hyssop, dip it in the blood that is in the basin, and strike the lintel and the two doorposts with the blood that is in the basin, and none of you shall go out of the door of his house till morning. For the Lord will pass through to strike the Egyptians. And when he sees the blood on the lintel and on the two doorposts, the Lord will pass over the door and not allow the destroyer to come into your houses to strike you. Look over at verse 29. And it came to pass when? At midnight, that the Lord struck all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, from the firstborn of Pharaoh who sat on his throne, to the firstborn of the captive who was in the dungeon, and all the firstborn of livestock. So Pharaoh rose in the night, he, all his servants, and all the Egyptians. And there was a great cry in the land of Egypt, for there was not a house where there was not one dead. You know this story, and you know that it is an accurate and incredible picture of the cross of Calvary. That the blood on the doorpost and the lintel forms the picture of the cross for us, where Jesus shed his blood. So that if we have faith in that provision, death passes over. Judgment passes over. Judgments were falling upon Egypt. And yet Israel was preserved. And there was life in the homes of the people of Israel. It was very much the midnight hour for the people of Israel. And they were being brought out into glorious liberty by the hand of God. And I will tell you this morning that God is your shield. He is your protection. I don't know what your midnight hour is, but I'm telling you, God is greater than your midnight hour. And I'm telling you, He is a shield round about you. And that if you dwell in the secret place of the Most High under the shadow of the Almighty, there's nothing that can take you down. God has His shield around you, and while others are being bombarded by the things that are happening in this world, God will keep His hand upon you so that you have a testimony that the blood of Jesus Christ is sufficient in your life. Look at Acts chapter 16 for our fifth one. Acts chapter 16. Again, well-preached scripture that's used often. Acts chapter 16, verses 25 and 26. Paul and Silas are in jail. But at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's chains were loose. Now, I don't want to oversimplify this, because I know what midnight hours are like. And I can't give you a simple formula. But I do believe that some of you are in your midnight hour to this day because you've not learned the one lesson. You may have learned all of the other ones, but for many people, this is the hardest one. And that is to have a testimony of praise in the midst of your trials. In the midst of your prison sentence, in the midst of your midnight hour. Let me share with you in this story. Here they are. I'm not even going to describe a Roman prison. Here they are in horrible conditions. And here they are. You know, we would be trying to get in touch with our lawyer. We would be trying to write up our defense as to why this was unjust. And all of these things. And here, Paul and Silas, in the midst of these criminals at midnight, they burst out into song. They begin to worship God. And it is true that in Hebrew culture, there are prayer meetings at midnight. Midnight is seen as a time for special prayer. They understand the concept of the midnight hour. And so at midnight, they break out into song. Let me tell you, when you are in the midst of your trial and your difficulty, that is not the time to shut down. That's not the time, again, to get under condemnation from the enemy and to be all bound up thinking about self. That's what we do. That's our natural reaction. That's the carnal reaction. But we have to come to the place where no matter what's happening in our lives, there's praise on our lips. I'm not saying you don't fall down. I'm not saying you don't cry. I'm not saying you don't have those times you get alone with God and say, "Oh God, I don't understand." But the overarching and overreaching pattern of your life must be, listen closely, that there is a testimony. Other people, look at this passage of scripture. I preached on this years ago. Paul and Silas were praying and singing, but the prisoners were listening. You think people aren't listening to you in your midnight hour? They are listening and they are watching to see if you're just like them. to see if you're going to cave just like the world caves, to see if you're going to lash out in anger and react just the way the world does, to see if you're going to try to find a way to finagle and manage your own situation, even if it's a little crooked, to fix it just like the world does. They are listening. They're listening, and it astounds them. It astounds them if they hear a believer and they know that all hell is breaking loose against that believer's life, and yet that believer is smiling and singing praises to God. That, my friend, is a supernatural thing that is only accomplished by Christ in your life. But it is a necessary thing. The midnight hour is not the time to get mad at your husband or your wife or kick the cat. The midnight hour is not the time to react in your emotions. And I know that's what we do. Following Christ is a retraining. And we keep submitting it to Him. And we say, this is what we do. We say, Christ, I cannot change myself. I need You to change me. And you keep submitting it to God. Beloved, you must, in this hour that's coming upon the earth right now, you think your midnight hour is bad. Wait till the midnight hour engulfs the world. And He's calling for a people who will stand and praise Him while judgments are falling. Praise Him when all hell is breaking loose. Praise Him even with the loss that Job suffered, to praise Him. Some of you know that we've been having some renovation done on the house, and that's a blessing from God. But there were some times of real frustration the last few weeks with an individual when things weren't done the way they were supposed to be done or in the time they were supposed to be done. And it's a fellow believer. And when the granite broke that they brought for the countertop Christmas Eve, he called and said, man, there's some kind of spiritual warfare going on, isn't there? My flesh wants to say, let me tell you what, you have promised this. This was guaranteed before Christmas, and I want to just lash out. But the Spirit of God said, the Word of God says that we are to rejoice in tribulation, and this isn't even tribulation. A broken piece of granite is not tribulation. Our little midnight hours, and some are serious, some are much greater than that. We must learn to praise God in those. How else is the church going to praise God under persecution? Paul and Silas were being persecuted. And there's a persecution coming. In Acts chapter 27, this is another scripture that's used often to show an end time scenario. And I'm not going to do all of that this morning. But it's the shipwreck of Paul. I just want you to look in chapter 27, beginning with verse 27. Now, when the 14th night had come, as we were driving up and down in the Adriatic Sea about midnight, the sailors sensed that they were drawing near some land, and they took some soundings and found it to be 20 fathoms. And then when they had gone a little farther, they took soundings again and found it to be 15 fathoms. Then, fearing lest we should run aground on the rocks, they dropped four anchors from the stern and prayed for day to come. Now, Paul is actually the central figure in this story, though we did not just read of him. But what's happening here is they realize they're getting into shallow water. And what's coming is the ship will break apart on the reef. And here's a man of God on this ship at the midnight hour. Notice that it says, about midnight, the sailors sensed that they were drawing near some land. And Paul hears all of this. He knows that all of this is going on. And here we have a man of God who is not concerned about his own safety. He's not concerned about anything except being the man of God that he's called to be in that moment. And he stands a little bit later. He stands on the deck of the ship. And he says to them, he says, an angel stood by me this night and gave me these words. And he gave them directions how to be saved. And what a picture that is for us. Beloved, when you're in your midnight hour, I hope that some of you are just as I am. That you're sensing and you're thinking about this, that in my midnight hour, how do I respond? What do other people see coming from me in the midnight hour? In the midnight hour, Paul was able to stand and he had a word from God. He was a man of influence. He had a word from God that would save many people's lives. While everything was breaking apart around them. And here is what I want you to see in this incident. Is that in your midnight hour, if you don't stay close to Christ, if you're focused on self. Well, let me just phrase it in the positive. In the midnight hour, you need to be a man or a woman of God. As this world sinks into darkness, you can sense that the water is getting shallow. You can sense that there's danger coming. You can sense things, and you can look at what's going on in the world through the Word of God and through the eyes of a believer. And you can go to the Father and you can get a word in the midnight hour that's going to be beneficial not only to yourself, but to other people around you. Which leads us to Luke 11, our seventh. Luke 11, where Jesus talks about prayer. Verses 5 through 8. And he said to them, which of you shall have a friend and go to him at midnight and say to him, friend, lend me 3 loaves. Notice this 3 loaves. For a friend of mine has come to me on his journey, and I have nothing to set before him. And he will answer from within and say, do not trouble me. The door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give to you. I say to you, though he will not rise and give to him because he is his friend, yet because of his persistence, he will rise and give him as many as he needs. Jesus is talking about persistence in prayer. And it's the midnight hour. And what is the reason that that's in the story? Why not just the middle of the night? But it's the midnight hour. And he is persistent, and his person has come to his house, and he knows he needs 3 loaves of bread. So he goes and he asks. In another story, you remember Jesus talked about the woman who needed someone to avenge her cause in court and went to the judge's house at midnight. And the judge said, go away. And she just kept knocking. And Jesus said, if this unrighteous earthly judge can be persuaded like this, how much more your Heavenly Father who loves you? How much more your Heavenly Father who loves you? In these end times, listen to me. In these end times, we need to be able to go to Christ Himself and get bread. I hope that you're thinking spiritually. Manna, Old Testament, sustenance, the Word of God that feeds you in this hour that you need. See, I know that most of you understand this, but I also know that many of you, in your midnight hour, you're not doing any of this. In your midnight hour, you blame someone else. In your midnight hour, you think God's gone. In your midnight hour, you crawl up under the covers and you cry, and you're all alone. But in the midnight hour is when you go, and it's not that God is reluctant, but He is allowing us to let our flesh fall by the wayside. That we would be persistent and that we would be so focused upon Him and so desperate that we would say, I'm not going to let you go until you speak to me. I'm not going to let you go until you give me bread in this midnight hour. I have people around me who are in need. I need bread, but I also need bread for those around me. And it's interesting that it's 3 loaves. And if you'll allow me just, I will admit, a little liberty here. But bread in the Word speaks of what comes from the... Jesus said, I am the bread that came down from heaven. And we need all three. In other words, we need everything from the Father that we can get. We need everything from Jesus that we can get. We need everything from the Holy Spirit of God that we can get in the midnight hour. Do you believe this morning that God wants to give it to you in the midnight hour? He's not punishing you. He's not angry at you. He's not trying to make your life miserable. He is purging you. He is teaching you a lesson, a valuable lesson, and He's wanting to produce gold in you, and He's wanting to produce a testimony of His power in the midst of struggle and trial and difficulty. Such an example, such a testimony that other people's lives are changed by it. Lastly, a strange little passage of Scripture back in 1 Kings. 1 Kings chapter 3, King Solomon is known for his wisdom. 1 Kings chapter 3, beginning with verse 16. Now two women who were harlots came to the king and stood before him. It's kind of interesting. Two sinful women had access to the king, most influential king on earth at that time. And one woman said, "Oh, my Lord, this woman and I dwell in the same house, and I gave birth while she was in the house. Then it happened the third day after I had given birth that this woman also gave birth, and we were together. No one was with us in the house except the two of us in the house. And this woman's son died in the night, because she lay on him. So she arose in the middle of the night," and in the King James it's very specific, "so she arose at midnight and took my son from my side while your maidservant slept, and laid him in her bosom, and laid her dead child in my bosom. And when I rose in the morning to nurse my son, there he was dead. But when I had examined him in the morning, indeed he was not my son whom I had born. Then the other woman said, 'No, but the living one is my son, and the dead one is your son.'" And then they get into an argument in front of King Solomon. And we've heard the story most of our lives, so it's not that strange. But it really is startling, the wisdom and how fast his response was of what he said. "Send for a sword and bring it here." And they brought the sword. He said, "Cut the baby in two and give one half to each woman." The woman who was the true mother broke out in tears and said, "No, no, give the child to the other woman." And he knew that was the real mother. He said, "This is the mother. Give the child to her." Why did I read that? How many of you know we deal with sin in our lives? And I never, ever, ever want to give anyone license to sin. You need to let God deal with your sin. But I want you to also understand you have access to the king. These two sinful women came and brought their argument before King Solomon. What was needed in this hour, in this situation, in this midnight hour, was great wisdom. And you'll be dealing with sin all the rest of your life. My prayer is that you're submitting it to the Lord, but as you grow, there'll be other things that you'll find out about yourself, and you'll always be dealing with some sin until you go home to be with the Lord. But you have access to the King. And in the midnight hour, it is not the time to draw away from God. It is the time to press in with all of your might and say to your King, "I need wisdom. I need a solution. I need an answer, because this is beyond me." And the Lord will give you wisdom that you need. Don't turn there, but in Psalm 119:62, David says, "At midnight I rise to give you thanks for your righteous judgments." How many of us, when we feel like God's making a judgment, how many of us, when we're in the midnight hour, rise to give Him thanks? Thanks to God in the midst of the midnight hour. Beloved, the midnight hour has many aspects to it. It's a time of testing and trial. It can be a time of family conflict. It can be a time of great grief. It can be a time with struggles with inward torment, things that you can't seem to overcome, fears. The midnight hour can be a time of persecution for your faith. Midnight hour can be situations that seem hopeless. And there's no answer. Midnight hour can involve financial situations that are overwhelming. False accusations against you. Even just dry times when God does not seem near. But beloved, the Word of God tells us today that in those times, if you will keep your eyes on Christ, and I'm saying it in faith, believing it for each one of you, in your midnight hour, you're going to find strength. Faith is going to arise in your heart, and then you are going to arise. In your midnight hour, you're going to recognize that the oil is low, and you're going to go to Christ for fresh oil. You're going to go out to meet Him. In your midnight hour, you're going to sit at His feet and ask Him to take you under His wing and trust in His redemption. In your midnight hour, some of you are going to start praising Him, replacing complaining and whining with praise. And in your midnight hour, you're going to become aware of danger. You're going to become aware of possible shipwreck. You see in the Bible, the New Testament, Paul speaks of those whose faith was shipwrecked. God wants you to have strong faith that you're aware of the shipwreck that's taking place in the world around you, but your faith not be shipwrecked. And you're going to begin to get manna from God, food, bread, fresh word from the throne of God for yourself and for others that He puts in your path. Amen. Let's stand.